And I knew if I had my chance that I could make those people dance, and maybe they'd be happy for a while. But February made me shiver with every paper I'd deliver. Bad news on the doorstep, I couldn't take one more step. I can't remember if I cried when I read about his widowed bride, but something touched me deep inside the day the music died. So bye bye, Miss American Pie. Drove my Chevy to the levee, but the levee was dry. And them good old boys were drinking whiskey and rye, singing, "This'll be the day that I die. This'll be the day that I die." Did you write the book of love? And do you have faith in God above? If the Bible tells you so, shoes. Man, I dig those rhythm and blues. I was a lonely teenage bronc and buck with a pink carnation and a pickup truck. But I knew I was out of luck the day the music died. I started singing bye bye, Miss American Pie. Drove my Chevy to the levee, but the levee was dry. Day that I die, this'll be the day that I die. Now for 10 years we've been on our own, and moss grows fat on a rolling stone, but that's not how it used to be. When the jester sang for the king and queen in a coat he borrowed from James Dean, and a voice that came from you and me. Oh, and while the king was looking down, the jester stole his thorny crown. The courtroom was adjourned. Day that I die. Helter skelter in the summer swelter, the birds flew off with a fallout shelter, 8 miles high and falling fast. It landed foul on the grass. The players tried for a forward pass with the jester on the sidelines in a cast. girl who sang the blues, and I asked her for some happy news, but she just smiled and turned away. I went down to the sacred store where I'd heard the music years before, but the man there said the music wouldn't play. And in the streets the children screamed, the lovers cried and the poets dreamed, but not a word was spoken. The church bells all were broken, and the three men I admire most, the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost, they caught the last train for the coast the day the music died. And they were singing, bye, bye, Miss American Pie. Drove my Chevy to the levee, but the levee was dry. And them good old boys were drinking whiskey and rye, singing, this'll be the day that I die. This'll be the day that I die. They were singing, bye, bye, Miss American Pie. Drove my Chevy to the levee, but the levee was dry. Them good old boys were drinking whiskey and rye, singing, this'll be the day that I die.
Hello and welcome to episode 31, Pie. That was Don McLean's American Pie, written about, well, one of the inspirations behind the song was about the death of Buddy Holly, and he refers to it as the day the music died. Although I think I read somewhere that his Buddy Holly's widow was like, well, actually, no, the music didn't die. But anyway, I don't know if you caught the special noodles on Buddy Holly. It was a new idea, a new feature, so I will be looking to be exploring people whose music I find really interesting. Maybe actually that they just have an interesting life and could be an actor or an actress. Well, yeah, so there'll be a few more. I don't know, I thought maybe Elvis. I don't know whether to try to do it chronologically or just kind of like dance all over the place with it, but I guess it might be hard to do it chronologically, too much thought, so I'll go into it. But yeah, if you listen to this show, I hope you enjoyed it. It's kind of gives you like a very brief history of their life. Well, his was very brief anyway, his recording. I won't go on too much about it, listen to this show, but what I was trying to do is, so I was playing music from Buddy Holly, but then also cover versions, like from modern era, just to demonstrate how good the songs were and how they still stand up. And I think a good song, you know, can last forever, hopefully, as long as too many people don't piss a boot with it. So anyway, yeah, that's the Hot Buddy Holly. So do check it out. I think currently I'm at 15 in the Podomatic charts. That's the highest position I've ever been. Might be to do with the frequency of the shows and the subscribers that I have. So thank you very much for listening and tuning in. I try to keep the shows as frequently as possible and as enjoyable as possible. So there's some news stories today. Interestingly, with American Pie, I remember when it came out, when they re-released it again in the, it must have been the 1990s. And two friends of my brother's, we always used to like hang out together. It was actually predominantly just three of us, me and my brother and this guy called Jace Elliott, and then this other guy, Paul George, used to hang around. But I don't know, you know where people join your group and you just think, yeah, they just don't gel. There's that whole thing of like, they just seem a bit shitty and you think, oh. So that's the feeling I always had. Maybe he just didn't like me. But I remember there was this, Jace and Paul had this argument about some lyrics in, this is long time, as I said, was it Whiskey and Rye? And there was like, well, no, there's no such thing as rye. And it's like, well, Jace was, his dad was American. is, America was, I don't know. And he was saying that you can get right. And this guy was like, well, no, it's whiskey and wine. And they had this, I remember just hearing them going on and on. Another time, Paul came out with us and he had his like little Walkman. And he was listening to like Boys to Men, I Want to Sex You Up or something, and doing these dance moves as we were going along the road. And I was thinking, well, what's the point in coming out with us if you're just going to walk along the road and listen to your chuffing music? So, so that was Paul George. An interesting thing was that his house, I mean, we used to go around there to obviously, we'd call around for him and say, oh, come in whilst he was getting ready. His house smelled like gas, as in British gas, as in cooking gas. We always used to find that a little bit kind of unnerving. None of us smoked, but at the same time, you know, switch a light, switch on, you'd be a bit like, fucking hell. Unlike the other Paul he knew, Paul Singleton, he was the guy, as you remember from a previous shows, who invited us in and that summer's day, and we ended up staying in with the curtains all drawn and we watched The Doors. And blew my mind. I think my brother went out and brought The Doors soundtrack, or I did. And I remember the Velvet Underground. Oh, I've gone through this already. So, next song up is Marvin Gaye. He's going to be somebody who I do a special noodles with. I really like this song. I heard a cover version by Amy Winehouse. That's going to be a show, covers, cover versions. So that's another one in the pipeline. Do tweet me if you fancy to be interviewed, unless of course I've already interviewed you. Yes, I'm talking to you, Megan. If you want to tweet me and suggest an artist that you wish me to cover, or a song that you'd wish to have in the show, or somebody who you think I should interview. But without further ado, here's I Heard It Through the Grapevine by Marvin Gaye.
Trouble plans to make me blue with some other guy.
So, a new story for you. A Canadian woman has been convicted of killing her friend after police discovered the murder weapon used in a picture of the pair on social media. So, Cheney Rose Antone, 21, pleaded guilty on Monday to killing Brittany Gargle, then 18, in March 2015. Gargle was found strangled to death near her landfill in Saskatchewan with Antoine's belt near her body. Fucking hell, I've got to come up with easier names. So yeah, the lady, Antoine, there, that one, was sentenced to 7 years for manslaughter. She was identified as a suspect after she posted a selfie on Facebook of the two of them, showing her wearing the belt hours before Gargle died. So what happened? The two were inseparable, friends reported to the Toronto Sun, until Gargle was discovered dead on a road by a passerby the early morning of 25th of March 2014. Police said that no evidence could be found to verify the story Antoine first gave to them, which is when the pair had gone from a house party to some bars before Gargle left with an unidentified man while Antoine went to see her uncle. Once the belt had established Antoine as a suspect, police used Facebook posts to help establish the real moments of the pair, sorry, the movements of the pair. Police realized that Antoine's Facebook post on Gargle's personal page the following morning, "Where are you? Haven't heard from you. Hope you made it home safe," was a diversion. She had asked her uncle to provide a false alibi, and eventually she confessed to a friend. Antoine now said the pair were drunk and high on marijuana when they got into a heated argument. She accepts she was responsible for strangling her best friend, although she says she doesn't actually remember the events. So, yes, that's why so does Antoine show remorse? Yes, and that's why the judge agreed to a 7-year sentence when she pleaded guilty to manslaughter rather than the secondary murder she was originally charged with. "I will never forgive myself. Nothing I say or do will ever bring her back. I am very, very sorry. I shouldn't have ever happened," she said in a statement through her lawyer. I think that's fucking bollocks. You know what I mean? It's, you know, drunk and, you know, smoked some cannabis and everything else. It's like, oh, diminished responsibility. Everybody seems to have this whole thing of like, oh, well, I blacked out, I did this. But if you do that kind of thing, then don't fucking drink or smoke weed. It's just ridiculous. And 7 years. Oh, she's remorseful. Tell that to her parents. 7 years, thanks very much. We've lost our fucking daughter because this stupid, anyways, C word. That was the last show. I won't mention it again, that word. So I don't know. I just find that a bit sad and just a bit ridiculous. I think the law sometimes, you know, it's not there for the right reasons, to protect the right people. Anyway, enough of my rant. This is in Canada, not the UK, which obviously we have fantastic. So anyway, doesn't matter. Next news story for you. Potentially hazardous monster asteroid will fly close to the Earth. So it's been classified as potentially hazardous, is heading towards Earth. So asteroid 2002 AJ129, which at 0.1 miles is wider than the tallest building in the US, New York's One World Trade Center, if you're interested, stacked on top of itself. So that's how wide it is. It's predicted to miss our planet. However, it will pass relatively close when thinking in terms of outer space. NASA classifies any space object surpassing 459 feet wide and passing within 4,660,000 miles of Earth as hazardous. According to a 2013 report of the Space Agency website, there are about 1,000 such known space objects monitored by NASA. This asteroid is more than 8 times wider than the minimum and will pass within just half of minimum distance of 2,615,128 miles to our planet. So for a reference point, the moon orbits Earth at a distance of about 238,000 miles. So that's how kind of close we consider close things. So the giant asteroid is expected to narrowly miss our planet on February the 4th, whizzing past us at a whopping 67,000 miles per hour. It will be the biggest and fastest space object to fly near Earth this year. So there you go. If you've got a telescope, have a look, see if you can find it. So a 2016 study found that the impact of a slightly smaller space object would bring about a mini ice age. Temperatures would fall across the planet as much as 8 degrees Celsius. The effects would last for several years, leading to potentially severe devastation around the globe, not to mention havoc caused by the initial impact. However, such an impact would not likely lead to a global extinction event. The space rock that wiped out the dinosaurs is estimated to be between 6.2 and 9.3 miles wide. So there, don't worry. Speaking of space, the Voyager spaceship or spacecraft or probe or whatever you want to call it, that's got a record bolted onto the side, made of gold. And there's lots of things on there. I'm going to do a podcast covering the whole thing. I found that the show I watched on TV immensely interesting about it. I mean, the record alone, what they've put on there is amazing. Interestingly, the Beatles were approached and flatly refused. The song they that NASA wanted to use was Here Comes the Sun by the Beatles. Instead, they opted for Johnny B. Goode by Chuck Berry. So that'll be on a podcast later. It might give you some clue as to the next song that's coming up. But yeah, I don't know if it's Storyville on the BBC iPlayer. Might still be around. It's really good. I watched the other one as well, the Italian Cassilli. I went to Saturn, and all the stuff about Saturn and its moons and what they know and understood, and just to think how far away the satellite was, and they were able to control it and have all these pictures beamed back and everything else. It absolutely just blows my mind. So the next song is Here Comes the Sun by the Beatles. It was an anniversary of All Things Must Pass, the release of that by George Harrison, his first solo LP. The bassist of the band I used to be in, he was telling me about how he was listening to a lot of George Harrison. A friend of mine, John, at work, was telling me how he went on YouTube and was listening to All Things Must Pass by George Harrison. I'd just put it onto my phone and I was just like, bloody hell, it's almost kind of, everybody's kind of subliminally just listening to it subconsciously. And so here, this isn't from All Things Must Pass. This is from Abbey Road. It's a bloody good song.
Thank you.
was going to play you Chuck Berry's Johnny Be Good, and I was going to tell you about when I was younger, there was this social club that my parents went to, and there was a guy, and he used to do like Hank Marvin numbers and all these different bits and pieces like that. And I was told this, and very small amount I can remember this. And he came on stage and he said, "I'll do an impression for you now." And he went, "Chuck Berry," and he threw his berry across. And what I did is I picked it up and I walked it back and handed it to him on stage. And naturally, he probably took the piss because, you know, all those things. So, doom and gloom. Scientists say that the end of humans is approaching. So one of the most intriguing topics for any human being is knowing when the so-called end of time will arrive, which for many is the end of the world. And around this issue have emerged several apocalyptic predictions, being the most popular today is that the famous shock is that they expect it to be happen very soon between Nibiru, the famous planet X, and the Earth, which would be catastrophic for any living being. Although various institutions, including NASA, has come to deny on more than one occasion that this collision will occur, the fact is that despite the scientific and medical advances with which the human race has been able to extend the average life, there is a more serious problem that seems to be one that will definitely destroy our species. A group of American scientists have sent an alert to the National Academy of Science of America, where they have set a date when the Earth will be uninhabitable for people and other mammals. Beyond the current climate problem and growing technological civilization that lives on our planet will face limits and consequences for growth while enduring self-inducing or existing threats that combine with time, these scientists describe. According to the data of these scientists, it will be impossible to survive on this planet between the years 2200 and 2400, so 2200 and 2400. In addition to the global warming, these scientists have detected other threats against humanity, and they are the nuclear winter, the deceleration of demographic growth, a pandemic, the impact of asteroids, as well as a catastrophic failure of future technologies such as artificial intelligence. I'm really sorry to have to break that news to you, but I think we'll be all right for a while. So make sure you have a good time. Have a wonderful time with the friends that you have, etc., etc., etc. One of the things you could do is visit www.noodlemash.uk and listen to the archives of this show. The pilot is such a long time ago now. There's some late night noodles. I need to do a few more of those. They're ones where you have no talking from me. Well, the later ones you certainly don't. The early ones maybe. I think I tried to do this mindfulness thing once, reading out from a colleague at work that left it before they went to Bali. They've come back and they're now going to Thailand, I think, 23rd, 24th of January. If you use the Mixcloud app, you can go to mixcloud.com/noodlemash. But obviously, if you're using the app, just search Noodlemash. The iTunes, you can download it directly to your iPhone. That's what pushes me up the Podomatic charts. That's available, so you just search for Noodle Mash or Rob Elvin, which is me. Hello. Yes, next song is I've been trying to think of, it's been floating around for ages. I've never been like a massive fan. The first time I ever heard of him was his song Jennifer Juniper, and that's when I dated this girl when I was at college. And so naturally I went into the record shop and I went through all the 7-inch singles to try and find this song, just to wonder if it was any good or not. Bought it for like, I don't know, 25p, 75p, something like that. Took it home, listened to it, and it was really nice. And, you know, he did kind of do some really nice songs. Hurdy Gurdy Man, Sunshine Superman, a few others, I'm sure. You know, I'm not doing it justice selling it. This next song is probably an obscure one. It's called Get Thy Bearings. I think it's got a really nice bass to it. I heard it on one of these compilation discs. Blimey, I can't remember the name of it now, but I will find out. It's where they kind of interview people. Not, you don't hear any words on it, but they kind of interview them, and they give them a playlist of all these things. And so it's like Jamiroquai will do one, or New Order will do one, and just like songs that have inspired them as groups or, you know, individual artists. And so you have this thing. You even get like one at the movies where they kind of collate all these fantastic songs from movies, and you get a double disc of all those to listen to. So yeah, the next song is by Donovan. It's interesting, you ever see the No Direction Home documentary on Bob Dylan? They are they're in a hotel, I think it's near Hyde Park or something like that, and I think Donovan's just performed one of his songs. All the ladies in the room were kind of like, oh wow, it's just amazing, you know, done that. And then I think Dylan then gets guitar and then plays his latest one, and you see Dylan playing, and it cuts to Donovan, and he looks pissed. You know, it's kind of like, you can just tell he's kind of like, damn, you've just pissed all over like the one I was just doing. But you know, they said he was like the UK's version of Dylan, but I think Dylan was big enough to spread around the whole world. Anyway, here's Get Thy Bearings by Donovan.
Get your bearings, know your time. Don't you worry, weather's fine. All the world knows what I'm saying.
So according to reports, Oprah's magic fountain of youth skin cream is derived from baby foreskin and is pissing off men who miss theirs. So apparently Oprah has human foreskin to thank for how fantastic she looks for her age. Yep, you read that right. I'm reading it right, rather. At least I'm taking care of your dose of Saturday morning news of the weird. Woman we all look to for recommendations about every product in existence has endorsed a skincare line called Skin Medica. She called it her magic fountain of youth. The product in question, TNS Skin Recovery Complex, allegedly contains cells from human foreskins. If you're looking to the ingredients, though, there'll be no foreskins listed. I think the scientific name for discarded foreskin is human fibroblast conditioned media. So in an interview with the San Diego City Beat, the company claims it hasn't harvested human foreskin in over 20 years. Instead, it uses cell from a single foreskin sample to grow the cells needed. That's interesting about how they did that, because there was this lady, the Henrietta Lacks, about how she had cervical cancer, and they try. It's horrendous when you read about the treatments that they used to use for these things, and that'd be like putting little blocks of metal, radioactive metal, into the womb of the woman to try and like burn it away. And so that they used to take these samples, and I think her sample wouldn't die, because normally outside of the body, the cells would just give up the ghost. But I'm trying to think of the correct name for it now. But yeah, there's a whole book about how the family were unaware that they'd taken these cells. And then the laboratorist started sending him to all these other people to do tests with, and everything else. So you have this lady to thank for so many different leaps and jumps through in medicine of how to treat cancers. It's a really interesting book. It kind of broke the family up a bit. No one trusted the media, and then there was a program about it back in the 90s, and just very peculiar indeed. So the woman who visits to the men's room precipitated a brawl at the downtown Salt Lake City bar last weekend has told police that her would-be rescuer mistook the situation. She was just using the restroom. So police are now investigating who's to blame for the assault, which left 32-year-old Todd Snyder bloodied and bruised with a broken jaw. So on Saturday night, Schneider and his girlfriend were at the Jackaloup Lounge on 372 South State Street, when they saw a woman they thought was being forced into the men's restroom with a group of men. A man stood guard at the door, according to the police report. Seeing what he apparently thought was the beginning of a sexual assault, Snyder pushed past the man at the door and started banging on it. People inside came out and attacked him, according to the report. In the woman's version of events, her friends were helping her because the woman's restroom only had one stall and was full. Given the two competing stories and that alcohol, at least was part of it, was a factor, Horrocks said it's possible that Snyder misinterpreted the situation. After speaking with both sides, Horrocks said investigators are reviewing surveillance footage from the bar to find out if anyone is at fault for the attack. Maybe just put sawdust on the floor like the old West, because that's what, make America great again. It's certainly looking that way, isn't it? I think one of the tricks that they're missing, if they want to make America great again, I think they need to revisit all the music that they used to do. So this kind of bubblegum, piss-poor pop that is kind of being produced, and there is just no lasting legacy behind anything that there's kind of being churned out. I mean, there's hooks and everything else, but I think it's just leaving it, you feel empty after, I can't think of any song really that I've heard that's, I probably don't listen to the right kind of, channels of music or the podcasts or radio stations or whatever it is, but there's no longevity in songs anymore. As you hear like a Bowie song or, Beatles, as we heard back there, or even far back as like 55 from Buddy Holly, and some of the earlier stuff that we can get our hands on, and like Ray Charles, all sorts of different things. And it's like, yeah, it's still relevant today. It's still great because they wrote it, they felt it, as opposed to, here you go, here's a written song. You sing it, but put as much feeling as you possibly can, kind of, we force you to do it, because, they're probably too tired from being, like, hauled around left, right and centre, kind of like, stand in front of these people, do this, do that. And there was something in the news today, one pop bitch, about the poor guy who's recently, was it S Club 7, he put his BAFTA up on eBay. I think he got, the final bid was like £66,000, but they got paid £500 a week. And I think even when they won, like those BAFTAs, they weren't allowed to have a party, they weren't allowed to do anything like that. It was like, right, bang, as soon as the award show had finished, he's in the car, driving to the next thing because you're on stage like the next day or whatever it was, and we need you to be fresh. And these poor people, they just, you know, you see all these people on X Factor like begging to be kind of like, you know, taken through to the next round. And you think, for what? You know, it's kind of, you're not going to get any adoration. You're just going to be exhausted. And you're going to get pulled around like a puppet on a bloody string. So someone who I think is fantastic, and someone who I've really getting into recently, and I got his double album out the other weekend, put it on quite loud, so I apologise to the neighbours, but there's only one way you can listen to this guy, and it is loud. So I hope you are going to. This is Hard to Handle by Otis Redding.
Scene. I can give you what you want, but you got to go home with me. I forgot some good old loving, and I got some in store. When I get through throwing it on you, you got to come back for more. Boys and things will come by the dozen, that ain't nothing but drugstore loving. Pretty little thing, let me light your count, cause mama, I'm sure hard to handle now, yes, around. Lighter than word, and I'm a man with a great experience. I know you got you another man, but I can love you better than him. Take my hand, don't be afraid, I wanna prove every word I say. I'm advertising love for free, so won't you raise your ad with me? Boys will come a dime by the dozen, but that ain't nothing but 10 cent love. Pretty little thing, let me light your count, cause mama, I'm sure hard to handle now, yes I am. I'm a man on the scene. I can give you what you want, just come go home with me. I got some good old loving, and I got better in store. When I get through throwing it on you, you got to come back for more. Boys will come a dime by for loving, but that ain't nothing but drugstore love. Pretty little thing, let me light the counter, called mama, I'm sure hard to handle now, yes I am. Cause mama, I'm sure hard to handle now, yes around. Action speaks louder than word, and I'm a man with a great experience. I know you got you another man, but I can love you better than him. Take my hand, don't be afraid, I wanna prove every word I say. I'm advertising love for free, so won't you raise your ad with me? Boys will call my dime by the dozen, but that ain't nothing but 10 cent love. Pretty little thing, let me light your counter, cause mama, I'm sure hard to handle now, yes I am. Baby, here I am, I'm a man on the scene. I
can give you what you want. Just come go home with me. I got some good old loving and I got better in store. When I get through throwing it on you, you got to come back for more. Boys will call my dime by my loving, but that ain't nothing but drugstore love. Pretty little thing, let me light the counter called Mama. I'm so hot to hell and I, yes I am. Good old love, so much you don't do love. I'm a big old man, mama.
A grandfather whose testicle expanded to the size of a grapefruit after contracting a rare form of salmonella has told how his life has changed forever. So David Worsley was on holiday in Tunisia with his wife Joanne when he caught African salmonella, a potentially deadly strain of the disease, and had to spend several days in hospital. After returning to the UK, the 59-year-old was so ill he was unable to keep any food down for weeks and lost 3 stone. But matters got even worse when they started developing an excruciating pain in his genitals and his testicles started to expand. He was admitted to hospital but allowed to go home, where his testicle exploded like a volcano. He then had to have an operation to remove it. Mr. Worsley, who works as a security guard at Bolton Town Hall, said, "I woke up at about 5 a.m. with the most excruciating pain in my left testicle. I could barely move and was tears from the agony. I said to Joanne, I'm feeling unwell." And she called the doctor, who advised her going to hospital immediately. I mean, wouldn't you just take yourself to hospital immediately anyway? I was in for 10 days and the pressure continued to grow. It got so big that I needed to carry it around in my hands. It was the size of a grapefruit. I can't even begin to explain the pain that I was in, and my temperature was off the scale. He continued to vomit and have diarrhea, but doctors sent him home after 10 days advising him antibiotics would bring the swelling down. Maybe cut it in half, have it with a little bit of sugar and for breakfast. Anyway, Mr. Worsley received more bad news when he returned for an ultrasound scan and was told it had grown even bigger. The doctor told me she had never seen anything like it in her 20-year career. She wondered whether she'd go halves. Despite this, I was sent home again. I got in the bath and it just exploded. It literally went bang and that was it. When the doctor saw it later, she said it was like a volcano exploding. It was leaking so much that I had to get one of my grandchildren's nappies and put it around to stop the flow. There was no embarrassment at that point, as I just wanted the pain to go away. When it happened, I felt like a weight had literally been lifted from me. I suppose it had. It was almost a relief that it happened. The grandfather of two said his life would never be the same after his ordeal. He said, "This has definitely affected me psychologically and I felt down for a long time. It may sound silly, but I didn't feel complete, even when the doctors said you can manage without them. In my opinion, it was a big part of being a man that has gone." So, yes, it's a sad story, but at the same time, you wonder how long he'd left. I mean, he came back and he was like unwell for weeks. You know, it's don't let things linger. That's the message, if any there was one. And do look after yourself down there. The slightest pain, get them checked out. Check them regularly anyway. When you do have a shower or a bath, make sure that there's no bumps, there's no lumps. Look after them. You know, or look after it. You know, it's. I had when I was 18. I had one twist. I was at a girl's house with my girlfriend. There was nothing untoward going on. I was sat on her bed and I leant over and I twisted one leg over the other. I remember I was wearing a pair of Wrangler jeans at the time, and they did feel a little bit odd wearing them because I was used to wearing Levi's. I mean, this is, you know, the jeans have got nothing to do with what happened, but I ended up somehow, it twisted, and yeah, it was absolutely fucking excruciating. I was at college the next day, and I didn't know what was wrong. I just thought there was the jeans, and I bruised it and caught it or something like that when I crossed my legs to reach across the bed. And yeah, I was meant to be Hamlet in this play, and my English teacher was saying to me, "You better fucking be in the lesson, you know, you're Hamlet, you know, blah, blah." And I sat there and I was thinking, bloody hell, all day. And I went home and I went to the doctors and it all got sorted out. But yeah, if I'd have left it any longer, then it would have been a whole different story. And I may have talked slightly higher. So, talking of higherness, this will give you wings. This will give you wings. So, a father in the UK claims his son's energy drink addiction led to his suicide at the age of 25. Sad. Kieran Bartholomew told the Mirror his son Justin would drink at least 15 cans of energy drink a day, which he believes contributed to his death in August. His brother Danny would look in the back of the van and see piles and piles of empty energy can drinks. We'd clear them out, and the next day there would be more again. When he told his dad he should wean himself off the drinks, Justin told him that he couldn't stop and that he was trying to, and that it was like trying to quit smoking. Justin struggled with anxiety and depression. He had previously tried to take his own life after the breakup of his marriage. However, his father believes his son's unhealthy energy drink habit only made his mental health problems worse. That's the thing, isn't it? It's kind of just saying, well, no, you need to cut it out. You need to cut it out. Anyway, I don't want to talk ill of the dead and stuff like that. But, you know, a 12-ounce can, whatever that is in whatever it is, of Red Bull contains 37 grams of sugar and 111 milligrams of caffeine. So it's about the same amount as a double espresso. So, you know, if you're going to drink that amount of caffeine, you know, it takes a little bit of kind of research, a little bit of interest, and to say, like, you're going to get heart palpitations, you know, you're going to have sleepless nights, and that's going to exacerbate, you know, your depressive thoughts, and, you know, and all these things. It's like that woman who, she drank nothing but, I think, was it how many litres of Diet Coke? It's like 15 litres of Diet Coke a day, or whatever it was, and she eventually died. I think what happened was she had a pack of Mentos and they blasted their head off, if you know what I mean. You might find that funny. If you don't, then I'm terribly sorry. And yes, some poor guy has died from drinking a shitload of Red Bull every day, but at the same time, it's people should get involved, shouldn't they? Should say to him, like, excuse me, instead of just saying, oh, you know, clearing it all out and everything else, take him aside and really help him out, sitting down and talk to him. Because if it is his marriage, you know, that led to him having suicidal thoughts and stuff like that, don't let him focus on to the, you know, the Red Bull. Because he's obviously projecting onto that. It's the thing that he has control over the most, is that kind of addiction. And yes, it's like quitting smoking, but people quit smoking every day. People who have smoked for years and years and years will quit smoking. It's with the help of people. So, again, this has been, one of those podcasts. No, it isn't. But at the same time, talk to people. Yeah, look after yourself, because the world's going to end in 2400. So we've not got much time left to have fun. So I'll stop. I'll let you get on with doing something fun for the rest of the day. This next song and final song is Dusty Springfield, Windmills of Your Mind. You remember singing this at school? It was absolutely amazing. I think the lyrics to this song and the way that it kind of like spirals. I will find the original one by, I think it's Noel Harrison or something like that. Forgive me if I got it wrong. I'll play that. On Twitter, I'm going to post a link to a YouTube video of Buster Keaton's The General. It's the whole movie is available for you to watch. Do watch it. At 1 hour and 11 minutes, it is possibly one of the funniest things I've ever seen. And that's what led me into listening to silent movies. Watching silent movies. I did have a joke where I wanted to say to people, like, oh, I've started to watch a lot of silent movies recently. To which they say, oh, well, like Buster Keaton, Charlie Chaplin. And I say, no, the speaker on my TV's broken. No. Here's Dusty. Thanks for listening. Do check out the archives, the history of Noodle Mash so far, www.noodlemash.uk. I hope you enjoyed today's show. And here's Dusty. And see you later. Bye-bye.
Round like a circle in a spiral. Like a wheel within a wheel, never ending or beginning, on an ever spinning wheel. Like a snowball down a mountain, or a carnival balloon. Like a carousel that's turning, running rings around the moon. Like a clock. clock whose hands are sweeping past the minutes of its face. And the world is like an apple whirling silently in space. Like the circles that you find in the windmills of your mind. You follow to a tunnel of its own, down a hollow to a cavern where the sun has never shone. Like a door that keeps revolving in a half-forgotten dream, or the ripples from a pebble someone tosses in a stream. Like a clock whose hands are sweeping past the minutes of its face. And the world is like an apple whirling silently in space. Like the circles that you find in the windmills of your mind. Keys that jingle in your pocket, words that jangle in your head. Why did summer go so quickly? Was it something that you said? Lovers walk along the shore and leave their footprints in the sand. Is the sound of distant drumming just the just hanging in a hallway and the fragment of a song? Half-remembered names and faces, but to whom do they belong? When you knew that it was over, you were suddenly aware that the autumn leaves were turning to the color.
The works of the devil. The works of the devil.